Well, hello, everybody. It has definitely been a while, hasn't it? As always, I am your hostess with the mostest, the sadistic maniac and dungeon master for the evening, Dapper Wombat, and I'm here with a bunch of new players. I mean, I have some old ones here, too, but I have some new players, because guess what? We're back, baby! It has been an absolute roller coaster trying to get this all back, but here we are, and now I'm essentially going to introduce all of our new members. Well, these, you all know them from the original podcast. We have, on my left, Jared Estrada.
That's right. The content's still free, and I can say I'm back because I'm an OG.
There we go. Excellent rhyme. Starting off strong. I like it. David Solis, do you think you can top that?
No, welcome back, everyone. Glad to be back as well. This is gonna be so much fun. I already see it.
It's gonna be horrible.
Oh man, this is. I mean, you know, we'll see. I mean, I also somehow roped in two new people into this. So like, I don't know how I managed to do that. But starting off with our new roster, we have Miss Natalie Briggs.
Hey, everybody. I didn't come up with a rhyme because I wasn't given enough time.
Oh, shit. All right. We see how that is.
She's a poet and previously wasn't aware of it.
All right. Let's see if we can keep it going. Landing and ending strong. We have Emmett. Damn it, Emmett. How do you say your last name again? This is just going to keep getting me. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. I'm well aware. It's Strozeski.
Strozeski. Yeah. Nope. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Strozeski.
Yes. Strozeski. Yep. Perfect. All right. I'm going to go with that take.
I don't have any fun rhymes. I'm sorry. I'm not that cool.
I mean, hey, it comes with time, right? Jared's not that cool. He likes to think he is, but he's not.
I don't even think I'm cool. Wow.
But without further ado, everybody, welcome back to the first episode of the revamp of Tales of Adventure, Agents of... But this is basically going to be a revival slash revamp slash, like, I guess, hard reset of the campaign that we did before. I know on the internet, this is essentially going to be the second podcast of the same name that's uploaded, but in actuality, it's going to be the third try. But essentially for this one, the idea is that I've taken a bunch of the stuff from 5th edition, and I've kind of changed that around to essentially fit more of the motif of what I'm going. So essentially, instead of us from the original podcast trying to go from level 0 to level 30, our character is actually going to be going from levels 1 to level 10. I'm kind of following a format put into place by the Darker Dungeons module that was for a homebrew creator named Jiffy Glyphs. I really kind of liked how they brought down and how they kind of broke down a lot of the classes and kind of bringing new features. So I wanted to take more of that idea and just kind of add a little bit more flavor. This is going to be taking place in a more homebrewed world of my creation versus that with the original podcast being take place in Eberron. Still going to be with Agents of Boo. They're still going to be with the Hounds, but we have a bunch of new characters, and who knows, maybe some of the old characters from the previous show might show up. But I guess with that out of the way, before we get into anything, does anybody have anything they want to announce? Any big projects that they're working on? Anything like, how was your week? Please, everybody, don't talk all at once.
We want to talk about my week. I'm housing a cat that hates me for a friend while she finds a new house. I'm housing a kitten who's adorable and loves me. And my AC went out and got replaced. So that was my week. No big projects, just chaos.
Ooh.
That's fair. What about you, Emmett?
Well, currently I am sick.
Oh, no.
But I drove like 130 some odd miles a day for work doing deliveries. So my back hurts, but it could be far worse.
That's rough, buddy.
It is what it is.
Fair enough. I'll take it. Jared Estrada?
For anybody who was listening to the old podcast, I got to watch Matt, who streams, have a mental breakdown while playing a game. It was hilarious.
Oh, it was a mental breakdown in the fun way, though, not in the bad way.
Yeah, like how Aaron on Game Grumps has mental breakdowns.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That concerned me a little bit. And then I guess last but not least.
What? He died.
Oh, I guess speaking of death, the last person who apparently keeps dying more often, David, do you have anything to plug?
I mean, after the last podcast, I've moved twice. I now live in Orlando. I don't live anywhere near you all anymore.
Nope. It's just such a shame.
Oh, sad. And oh yeah, I started my own business.
Oh yeah, do you want to tell us a little bit more about that? Is that still under the wraps?
Little under the wraps. This week everything gets shipped to me, and then 2 weeks from now everything goes back online. So nice. Definitely looking forward to everything. But yeah, no, it's gonna be all online. So.
And that's when he starts crying.
Yeah, that's when I start crying. Nice, I start crying nice. Because I'm just like, nobody's buying. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I guess with all that being said and with the announcements out of the way, I think the only big thing that we can kind of say starting off, I guess kind of getting to this is like with congratulations and kind of thank yous. I know a lot of this was kind of the inspiration. I talked about this on the previous podcast, that a lot of the inspiration was this because I've, you know, listening to like things like Critical Role, listening to essentially listening to the Adventure Zone, and just kind of, and especially with Not Another D&D podcast, has really kind of inspired me to want to take the game that I love the most and just kind of put my own flair into it. And then, again, before we kind of get into this proper, I want to thank, like, the people who inspired me. Griffin McElroy, obviously Matthew Mercer, B. David Walters, because I also really really loved watching those.
Satine Phoenix.
With Maze Arcana. Oh, man, Chris Perkins. Man, there's so many people.
Brendan Lee Mulligan.
For just being the true champ. Murph from NADPA with Emily Axford and all of them. They've been so wonderful inspiration, and I hope to kind of carry on that legacy. I guess with all of that going out of the way, the last things I'm going to say is this podcast is a safe space. This podcast supports Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ members because fuck TERFs. And if you all want to get mad about that, then clearly this podcast isn't going to be for you. There are going to be a lot of people of color in this. There are going to be a lot of LGBTQA plus members in this. Of that, I can assure you. But with all of that out of the way and all of the disclaimers out of that, let us get the ball rolling for tonight's episode of Agents of Boo. Roll the intro. Without further ado, let us begin. Dear listeners, I ask of you to close your eyes and imagine with me. Imagine a world where both the magical and mundane coexist in a post-industrial boom, to the roaring rhythm of big brass bandstands and even bigger business. Imagine a world where its residents live in giant state-sized cities that protect them from the harsh outsides in their own isolated and self-sustaining biospherical walls made from the hollowed corpses of deities long expired. Imagine a world where the blood of those old gods is fuel for the new machines, where the magic is constantly on the cusp of arcane advancements being pushed further and further and further along with the limits of what it means to cast a spell. Imagine that world healing from a 60-year-old wound, scarring perfectly as a reminder of what happens to all those to wish to test their advancements by expending no expense in neither blood nor gold for their pursuit. And now is where we find ourselves, dear listeners, upon the planet that sits within the center point, the planet of Omira. And upon this world and all its scars, there thrive new threats and old fiends, wishing, hoping, and wanting to break this tenuous peace that is seen upon the world, lingering closer, threatening to break the bound of the ever-hungering darkness. But I am here to tell you today, dear listeners, that there are those that stand against them. An elite organization, known as the Bureau of Occultic Observations, stands ready and willing to bear their fangs against these threats and where their malice resides. And that is where our stories begin, dear listeners. This is Tales of Adventure, Agents of Boo. As the camera focuses, we are drawn into the world upon the largest city on the planet, New Darnum. We flutter across the Akamistra mountain range that guards and defends the west side into the large mounting skyscrapers, basking in the late evening orange glow of a beautiful but busy late spring day. As we race through this night, we see a few scenes that give us pause. For one, there is the hustle and bustle of barkers and hawkers, moving about selling their wares of mundane and magical in the large stalls of the outdoor North and South Gate markets. The next scene is more for the risque side of service. We see entertainers getting ready to work by putting upon airs and flares to address and entertain clients in the Lantern District, putting out the signature red and gold lights outside to signal for welcome business and the feast for the senses. Lastly, we see poor college students huddling and cramming together in a library within the Golden Scroll District, desperately trying to figure a way to pass their exams and all the while being stressed about it. Much like our new recruits here, we finally and energetically settle on the outskirts near a subdivision to the southeast, known for its natural hot springs, slice of life, and peace of quiet, the subdivision known as Emerald Home. And this is where we make our final stop to a, well, sight to behold, to say the most. A small establishment that you wouldn't know it was open, given how isolated the streets around it are, and, well, how poorly decorated the exterior of the establishment is, but with a vaguely functioning arcanical neon light advertising above, we know this establishment's name to be the Brass Dragon Tavern and Inn. As we peer through, though, surprisingly, we see that the place is packed with patrons, with a sign on the door that says, "Closed, event only." And oh, what luck! There seems to be one very conveniently table left, with four chairs open for dining in. As we go through and observe the patrons drinking their beers and singing their merry, we scan across to see that there is only one attendee behind the bar, an orcish woman with about a height of 6'7", wiping down a mug. We notice that her left tusk is but a broken tip as she dominantly displays a strong jawline that seems to be permanently broken and has settled a bit too much on the right side of her face. We see that she keeps her long black and braided hair out of her face by putting it behind her ear and wearing a floral print bandana to help soak the sweat of her brow. Dressed in common clothes with a plain sleeve linen button shirt, rolled to the elbow, dark brown slacks and suspenders, protected by her leather bartending frock, she leans a bit back on the 15-foot liquor shelves behind her and whistles along to the swing beat music playing from the music selection box with arcane crystals echoing the tunes in the four corners of this 50-foot square first floor with stairs leading just to the opposite of the wall. She turns her head and sighs as she hears the door swings open and the familiar chime of the bell tells her it's time to get to work. She instinctively says, with a professional gruff, "Welcome to the Brass Dragon Tavern and Inn. If you're dining in, take a seat at the nearest open table, and I'll get right to you." As the door swings open, we see a peculiar sight. A fellow that is always making sure that he's on time, also while making sure that he keeps his heart rate just right, Zara Vengeance. Can you describe your character?
Hi, everybody. My name is Zara Vengeance.
I'm going to love and hate that voice for the entire fucking campaign.
All six seasons.
Fuck.
And a movie.
And pray tell, Zara, what do you look like? How do you walk into this door? It seems to be that you're the one who arrived either early or on time. But you know what? You want to arrive just in the exact moment just to be, you know, just to be exact and precise. Can you please describe a little bit more about yourself?
I'm normally very punctual, so I try to arrive as on time as possible, which is normally 5 minutes early for some people. But I actually have white hair. I'm about 6 foot tall. Oh, I'm sorry, 6'1". I'm very humble, by the way. And I am about 22 years old. So, yeah, pretty normal looking. I get mistaken for a little bit younger sometimes, but, you know, that's just people's demeanor, I guess. But, yeah, pretty average athletic build.
You know you're humble when you say you're humble.
Totally.
I'm totally humble.
As you walk in, you clock eyes with the barkeep, and she goes, "Are you dining in or taking out?"
Oh, I'm only here to dine in. I'm supposed to be meeting with some new people. My name is Zara. What's your name?
Nice to meet you, Zara. My name's Hannah. You want to take a seat over there? I can take care of you when your party gets here.
Almost definitely. I appreciate your help.
And you see that she just kind of like grunts a little bit and just kind of goes back to wiping down the mug. And again, you see that like the bar, for the most part, is full. You do see that there are like a couple of maybe like 4 small tables, but each of them have about maybe like 6 people around them. You see them just kind of like eating, whispers, talking, drinks clanging around, food, plates scraping. You do hear like the music coming from the jukebox. It's over there in like the far corner near the back. But you do see that there is an open seat, and you do see that there are 4 chairs available.
Barkeep, by any chance, can I ask you something?
Yeah, is there something that you need, Zara?
Well, technically, according to the code of regulations, because of the pandemic that we just recently had, you're all supposed to be 6 feet apart and have at least 20 people in this tavern. I'm afraid you might be over your capacity.
You see that she doesn't even look up and she just kind of nods. She goes, "That would be a quick eye, except I also made sure that everybody before here was also vaccinated. Though, I can appreciate the concern here. How about you go ahead and have a seat over there?" And she just says all of this while still wiping off the glass and just is not looking up at you.
All right, sounds good to me.
As Zara goes and takes a seat, the door, ding, 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 chimes open. And you see, maybe about a couple minutes after Zara sits down, a figure walks in. You see that they are dressed in, for the most part, fairly nice clothing, but it seems to be that they have lost their coat almost somewhere, as if almost like a noble at a party. The coat has been thrown away for the scene, never to be seen again. Natalie, can you describe Pax for us, please?
All right, Pax saunters in. They are doing what I call their neutral look. So Pax is a changeling. Or a mimikin, I think, is technically the race that we're going through in this setting. So they get to pick how they look every day. And so their typical kind of like, I woke up and didn't feel like thinking about it look. They're tall, pale, like almost silvery skin pale. They've got white blonde hair. Today, it's got purple tips. It's one of those like high fades with a long tussled top. Green eyes. The description you gave of their clothes. They're very nice clothes that are worn like they slept in them. Lots of piercings and jewelry. So very shiny. They're very, very fashionable.
Nice.
Do I know who I'm meeting here? Do I know who I'm looking for?
Yes, you do. You do realize when you were kind of going through your orientation and stuff that you were supposed to meet 4 members at that particular table. And well, you do see one that is just kind of sitting there, just kind of like patiently kind of keeping to himself, but almost sitting like in a very orderly, very happy man. And you see the orc barkeeper go, "Welcome to the Brass Dragon Tavern. Are you eating in or dining out?"
I believe that I'm meeting this lovely gentleman over here. If you could give me a pitcher of whatever you've got on, something good on tap that's not too hoppy, bring it to the table, please. Thank you, ma'am. And they kind of slouch over to the table, pull a chair, kind of do that. They pull the chair out and like flip it backwards and do that thing where they like stride the chair, rest their elbows on the table.
Oh, yeah, doing the cool kid chair pose where you're like leaning, you have your arms over the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you doing the "let's rap for a minute, kids" since?
Yes! Just, yo, let's sit down and chill for a minute.
But because Pax is lazy, they're actually resting the chair against the table so they don't have to do too much work keeping it up.
I love it.
I promise Pax is not insufferable. They're just bored.
So yeah, Zara, you see one of the people that you're supposed to meet here for the trial. You think that their name was something like Pax? Pass? Pax? You're pretty sure it's Pax. And you see they just kind of like lazily just saunter up and just dunk. Politely just like lean the chair on the tip of the table
I wave at them. Just real.
Oh, well, hi there. Can I help you?
I don't think it's going to be you who's helping me, but I'm pretty sure I'm meeting some other people here, and there's no one else really in here, so.
Well, remember, the place is kind of packed.
If it's not you, we can be friends.
Oh, well, the sign says ladies' night, so I don't actually believe that that's entirely true, or maybe it's just early. But I'm actually here to meet somebody else.
Are you sure? Who do you need me to look like?
Well, I need to actually meet three people. It's kind of like a fourth, like a four, what's the word I'm looking for? Foursome? No, not really. More like a four-person thing.
Well, you realize if I show up and then two other people show up, I could still be who you're looking for.
That does seem logical. So yeah, my name is Zara.
Pax. Nice to meet you. What you drinking?
Pax what? Oh, water. I have to stay alert. Sorry. I kind of just came from, well, work.
Pax looks horrified.
And on that note, we see the door kind of swings open, chill and kind of lazily. As we see the frame, we see a purple clawed dragon hand. Cooper, can you introduce yourself?
I'm going to stop you right there, because actually what happens is a waiter comes by bringing the beer and the water. And like, here you go, dudes. She's here to serve. Somehow, this large purple dragon turtle is now wearing a waiter's outfit, even though he doesn't work at the bar. He is serving guests, making sure that everybody has a good time. He points over to...
Do you expect me to believe that there's not a drink on that tray for Cooper, too?
Cooper has been drinking for free on the Orc Lady, because she says, any help is a free drink for me. I think.
I didn't say that. You just kind of barged in. You came in early, didn't have anywhere to be, and it's like, well, I gotta put you to work somehow. But I'm assuming that your party's here, so you can go ahead and take a break there, boss.
You're all right with me, lady. You're all right with me. So Cooper, who he's like about 5'11", he's a purple dragon turtle, has claws and everything. He's kind of like a mix between a dragon, like a dragonborn, and a turtle, and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. He's an orange band wrapped around his arm. Strangely enough, his shell is not on. He's carrying it with him. And he sits down. He's like, yo, you guys look like the people that were at the lifeguard thing earlier today. Right on, right on.
Lifeguard? Oh, you mean orientation.
Okay, you guys were lifeguards in other cities and got promoted?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Bartender, I think there's some drunk trying to spin on us.
No, I think he's right. I think he's right. That sounds right.
Oh, okay.
I was a lifeguard back home. They told me to come out here.
You know, Zira, if you think about it and we do our job right, we are guarding lives.
Well, I mean, technically that's true.
You guys get it.
But in actuality, if you really want to know what your job description is, I have a list of everything that you're supposed to do. I brought it with me in this file.
You see, as Zira says that, he reaches to his bag and boom, pulls out this massive, like, 150-page document and just proceeds to start reading through it from the very beginning.
Section 1.
As Zara goes through the first section, we see now, kind of stumbling their way in, a little bit confused as it seems to be, not necessarily that they're lost, but man, it is, they've never had to deal with being in a civilization like this so big. Emmett, can you please describe your character for us?
Yeah, so kind of like the widest eyes you've ever seen, like really excited, like kid on Christmas, like trying to just consume everything that's around him to try and learn what this new region is for him. But he's about 5'9", dark-skinned, blonde-haired elf, and he is not dressed for the city whatsoever. He's got, like, ruddy boots, like, that have, like, cream and brown flowers on them. He's got, like, a cowboy hat on that's got, like, a big old, like, falcon feather plume out the side, and, like, that's got a little, like, butterfly brooch on it, and, like, he's not built for here, but he seems excited.
As you kind of go in and kind of, like, are taking in all the wide eyes, you see the orc lady, Hannah, kind of looks up and goes, "Welcome to the Brass Dragon Tavern. Are you done? And she kind of looks at you for a second, almost kind of like, oh, that's something you don't see every day. And she kind of goes, I assume you're here for the table. If not, I'm fresh out of tumbleweeds. I'm sorry. Ooh. And she's still kind of like cleaning her mug.
I don't know what a tumbleweed is, but, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm here for a table. And I believe that one with the chair open is the one for me.
Mm. And you see that she just kind of tilts her head over and she just kind of signals for you to go sit down.
All right. Yeah, and I saunter over, and I look at Pax. I'm like, oh, we're allowed to do that? And I also flip the chair around and sit like that.
Oh, I just go, hey. I like this dude's vibe. Cooper does it too as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you must be the last person to join us.
If you want to know what we're allowed to do, he's the one who can tell you.
Yeah, Section 3. Punctuality is very important. You happen to be 2 minutes and 37 seconds a little bit behind.
Well, that's fair, but did you start?
Yes. When I read section 1.
All right.
When you think about it, none of us are truly behind.
What do you mean?
What?
I don't think that computes very well with me, but anyway.
As you all are having this conversation, you see that the orc just kind of watches you all for a second, puts her mug down. You see that she grabs a notebook, or almost kind of like a book from the table with a pen in hand. And you see that she kind of walks over to you all and she goes, all right, what can I get y'all? We have to make sure we put in our orders because the kitchen's going to close soon.
You all can go ahead and order first.
Pax just holds up their mug. I'm all good here, ma'am.
You sure? You don't want anything to eat at all?
Do you have pepperoni pizza?
Yeah, we can whip you up something like that. Do you want it a thin crust or do you want it like a thick like a pie?
Ugh, one of each. One of each, man. One of each.
All right, I'll see what I can do. Do a half and half. Half thin crust, half deep dish.
Oh, yeah.
She kind of, like, points at the, is that you, Mr. Cowboy?
I don't know what y'all have, so surprise me.
She just kind of shrugs and, kind of, like, writes. You see she kind of, like, makes a note in the book, and, she looks at you and goes, well, Zara, I think you said your name was. What are you having?
Oh, I'd almost forgotten. Zara takes out a piece of paper and hands it to the barkeep. This is actually for you. It's a to-go order from a friend of mine. It's a very unique order. He said you would know what it means.
Right. Perfect. And you see that she kind of like stuffs it in her front apron. She goes, I'll keep that in mind. Is there anything that you want yourself, or are you just putting in orders for other people?
No, that's all I needed.
All right. I'll be back in a second. And you see that she kind of walks over back to the bar. Anybody who wants to make me a perception check, go ahead and do so. First roll of the night.
I love passive perception.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have our first nat 1.
Yes!
Nice.
I got my 14 plus the
nice.
Perception. I forgot what I'm adding. I keep forgetting every single time. Never
Roy,
mind. I got it.
What'd you get?
15, 12.
So. Pax, what'd you get?
Just an 8.
Okay.
So I got 15.
Yeah.
Then.
Okay, 15. Yeah. You guys, like, Cooper, you're just like, no, you're here. You're just vibing. You know, you're just lost in the sauce of the vibe, bro. Like, you're just chilling.
I've been a waiter, and somebody that I was waiting on, they ordered these honey barbecue wings. I recommended them. I'm like, ah, dude, you got the wings.
Roy, you're just still kind of taking in this whole fountain of, like, information, these new things, like, just taking in all that information. Pax, you're just kind of like, all right, this is kind of really fucking weird. I don't know how I feel about this. But Zara, you notice that as the barkeep kind of walks away, it seems to be that she does have the note in her apron, but you see that she puts the order booklet on the bar, and you see that she walks to the back, and the doors swing behind her in the kitchen. So you are all still kind of here. You hear the music. You definitely see the other patrons who are with their other group. You see them kind of like still moseying on about. You're not sure when the barkeep is going to come back. So what would you all like to do in this moment?
Oh, well, actually, now that I have all of you here, I have something for each of you. So before we get started, I was told to give all you this. This is a waiver.
A waiver for what? And I, like, take the paper and just start reading it.
Oh, well, it's mostly a liability form.
Why didn't we do that at orientation?
Well, because you already passed orientation, this is basically going into the final selection. We're not really liable for any property damage, illness, death, you know, stolen items, little things like that.
Y'all are so confused, you have no idea what the fuck Cooper's talking about.
So initial, 3 initials here, and then that should be it.
Do you all sign the waivers?
Pax is going to look like they're reading through it just to stall and not sign it. Okay. Oh, also I'm going to roll an insight on this guy because it feels weird that they're having us sign the, like, not in an official capacity, just this, like, dude at the bar is handing me a waiver.
Yeah, no, go ahead and roll the insight.
Oh, no. They're just looking like they're reading it, hoping that someone will start a conversation that distracts Zira before I don't sign it. So my insight is a 19.
19, okay. Yeah, as you kind of go through it, you're like, yeah, no, this is weird. And it's weirdly surprising because, like, no, this is essentially the same waiver that you signed in orientation. Like, verbatim, front to back, this is literally the exact same. You kind of notice that maybe, like, the sheets are actually fresh, almost like they've just been, like, freshly printed off the arcane press. And just kind of, like, seeing how, like...
Are you a portable printer?
I'm not even gonna have you roll. You all see that he has his files. He has this big binder that has, like, tabs, and they're in... Everything is neat. Everything is clean. Even when Zara sat down, you saw him wipe his section of the table in a nice, clean line. He has laid out everything very nice and orderly. You even see that, like, in the paperwork, the 150-page manual that he essentially printed out, there are no creases in that paper. That all of the pages are perfectly straight. The staple that is holding them together is perfect. There does not seem to be anything out. It's Paxley. Almost psychotically scary.
Paxley's over to...
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I'm going to lean over to Cooper and be like, we got to get this guy a drink.
As this cannot stand. As Cooper hands me back the paper, I pull out another one.
Well, thank you so much, Cooper. This was your other one that you signed the other day. I had to verify everyone's signatures to make sure they are who they are. Orientations normally happen, but sometimes recruits end up actually going missing or they get replaced because people are jealous. We've had a couple of interesting cases.
As you all are having this conversation, you see that the barkeep walks over to you all and places, and they don't seem to actually have, like, any trays or anything of, like, any actual food, but you see that they actually place what seems to be almost kind of like a stone in the middle of the table, and you see that she, like, looks at you all with, like, a focus, and she says, "Kitchen closed," and she kind of, like, taps the stone three times and goes, "Good luck, y'all are gonna need it," and she smacks the table, and she kind of walks back, and you see that she just disappears back into the back room. But you do see now that this stone with these beautiful pulsating blue arcane runes on it are in the middle of this table. What would you all like to do?
I assume this isn't food. Look at
it. Yeah, take a bite.
Okay, you take a bite. Nope.
No, you're like, wait. Ah. Hold on. I was telling him to take a bite. No. I was telling him to take a bite. I just want to pick it up and look at it.
Okay. You pick it up and look at it. It does look like a magical... Go ahead and, I guess, make me an Arcana check. Because you do know that it's magical in nature.
That's an 18.
18. You look and you're like, oh, this must be some sort of, like, speaking stone almost. Where you kind of, like, push the sigil in the middle and it kind of, like, pops out a recorded message.
Can I do that?
Sure. Do you just press it now?
Sure. That seems like something Pax would do.
Okay, cool. As you kind of hold and you kind of press it, and you hear the arcane runes kind of flash to light in this brilliant blue for a second. And you hear you, Zarek, hear a familiar voice going, "Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Testing, 1, 2. Hello, everyone. I'm sure that you all are well aware that even though you may not know me, I certainly know of all of you. My name is Director Lucan, and I am the organizer of this event. You all will be experiencing your first trial in a matter of moments, and especially for this one, it is quite key. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, and once you all are here, assuming that you all have accepted this, is to use your environment to your advantage and hold out for as long as you can. In this room are 5 clues that are needed for your survival and for the coming onslaught that is your life." And you see, as he says that, you see the patrons that are kind of like who are sitting there all kind of like stop for a sec. And you see them all just kind of like take their hands, like they're on the table, like put down whatever they're doing, and just slowly kind of reach their hands underneath the table and kind of, like, sit back. And you hear the echoings of a hall slowly get, like, eerily. And you hear Lucan go, in a matter of 30 seconds, the jukebox in the far corner is going to change into its song. Once that happens, the test will begin and combat will ensue. Your mission is to survive, work together as a team, and use the environment to your advantage. There are clues hidden around here that will help you succeed in the trial. The first one leads with that book that was placed on the shelf. If you all are ready to begin, and if you all wish to begin earlier, simply turn this stone over and press it to immediately destroy. Good luck, agents. I hope to see you all in the next future trial. And the voice cuts out. And you see the magic kind of like from this side of the stone fades out.
Pax just like tosses the stone back on the table kind of carelessly.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's paying attention, like their whole manner suddenly shifts. They're like sitting up straight. They're paying attention. They're alert. They're like in it.
Okay, yeah. As you do, as you're kind of like getting alert, with your passive perception of an 18, you do notice that as that message kind of stopped, you do notice the patrons slowly start kind of getting up, and you can slowly hear like the unsheathing of metal, and you see they almost kind of slowly start progressing towards the front, and you see one of them goes to the door and click, locks it.
Okay. Just for to clarify, my passive perception is 13, is my insight. That's 8.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
When the clue is book on the shelf, is that the bartender? She put it on a shelf or did she put it like on the bar?
Sorry, she put it on the bar. I lost my words for a second there. That's my fault.
Okay. Just checking. I'm like, because I didn't even see that technically, I don't think. So I'm going to basically say to the table, like, heads up, boys. And I'm looking for the book, because I don't think that was conveyed to us that she put it down.
Okay, that's perfect. And as you do, you hear the song sort of switch. And Pax, you recognize this song, which means, fuck, it's time for us to throw it out. This is almost the same exact song, albeit it's a little bit more of an upbeat remix to the song that your parents would play when they were helping you practice your skills. And essentially helping to keep in the rhythm, keeping to the beat with how you move and sway and swing your deck. And so you instinctively know that it's like, it's time to go. And as
it's time to go, that's so much better than what I said. That's what I should have said.
As everybody's getting ready, Zero reaches into his pockets, he clicks up his watch, and then he takes out some headphones and puts them in. And then he just presses play on his watch.
Okay. As you all do and kind of get ready for the onslaught, you hear the crescendo start to rise in the song, and you see now 6 other patrons from the upstairs come downstairs, and you see one of them is this much bigger built creature, almost seemingly that they are made like of hard muscle made from some sort of stone. And you see all of these patrons now are wielding some sort of, like, weapon. One of you see wielding, like, a pipe. Another one you see, like, wielding a machete. Another one wielding a knife. And they are all just, like, squaring up on one side, basically just, like, looking at your table. With the really big one just kind of, like, standing in front. And you see they kind of, like, crack their neck. And you hear these giant cracks. And as the music kind of comes to a crescendo and the bass drops, I'm gonna need all of you to roll me initiative.
Yay.
Do I need to roll something? Because I said I wanted to try to find that book also.
Yeah, I'll say you can go ahead and roll me a perception check because you were looking for that before this all happened.
11.
Okay, 11. It's not too hard to notice, but you... Oh, God.
Sorry, hold on. That might not actually be right. Sorry, it's a... Not that it matters that much, but it's a 12. I was giving you my initiative bonus, but it's a 12, not an 11.
Oh, good.
I was looking at two different numbers.
You do notice that, like, you don't see any other books except for that one that the barkeep left on the actual book. Okay, so, David, what's up?
Can I use that bonus maneuver?
Sure, if you would like to expend it. Just keep in mind, if you do, that doesn't mean that you... Yes, so you can if you would like to.
All right, yeah, just for the environment.
Okay.
I'll expend it, plus my wisdom or intelligence.
Yes.
Intelligence, definitely intelligence.
Okay, so go ahead and roll it. Add it to your initiative. What'd you get?
Alright, add it to my initiative? Oh.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what you find on your turn.
So, 21.
21, okay. Alright, so 25 through 20. I know Zarek told me that he got a 21. What did everybody else get?
Dirty 20.
Alright. Super. 19 to 14? Oh, this is gonna be fun. 13-9.
Oh, this is gonna be bad.
Pax, what did you get? You got an 11, didn't you?
No, that was, I got an 8.
Okay.
I rolled two separate things, but I added a 2 instead of a 3 to my perception.
Gotcha. Okay, so you got an 8 for Pax. Roy, mm-hmm. What'd you get?
6.
Whew. All right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's how this is going to work. Like I said, there is that book on the table that, from the message that said...
Well, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot one of my characteristics. I actually have disadvantage on initiative.
That's correct.
So let me roll again and see if I get lower. I wrote the exact same thing. Still dirty 20.
Now, that is one of the other... that is one of the new traits that I had, where the characters not only have basically like 3 positive qualities, but kind of 2 negative qualities. For Cooper's, his negative quality is absent-minded, which essentially means that anytime he gets into initiative, he has to roll disadvantage because he's so distracted in being like living in the now, he's just kind of not aware of his surroundings. But regardless, for all of that, how this is essentially going to work is I have the big dude who goes on a specific initiative, and I have essentially, there are a total of 21 people in this space. You have the one big dude, and you have the 20 other people. Now, obviously, I can't throw, like, 20 CR1 creatures at you all, because that would just be kind of rude. So I've decided that I'm basically going to break them up into clusters. So you have your 4 groups of 5. They're each going to go on a particular wave on the initiative. And so, as they attack, they're only going to make 1 attack, and they only get to do a certain amount of damage. Like, almost kind of like clubbing you all to death, but they do get advantage for that, so just keep in mind. Other than that, Reginald has a specific time where he goes in the initiative, as well as another time when he goes in the initiative. So Reginald can go twice in 1 round. With all that being said, you know that first clue, especially like what you saw in their packs, that first clue is on the table. Unfortunately, the big dude, whose name is Reginald, I'm just going to say that out there, Reginald and the first wave go first.
Reggie, so, why? We shared wings.
Reginald is the one that you recommended the wings. And Reginald kind of walks up to you, Cooper, and he goes, those wings were delicious, bro, and just proceeds to just raise his fist and see if he can fucking deck you in the face. First hit is a natural 1, so that's going to miss. What is your AC? Because you don't have your shield out. So it's a 17, right?
17. Yeah, so it's a 17. Currently. I do have my shield with me, but it's not currently out yet.
Okay. So that is going to hit, and you, Cooper, take... Okay, you take 9 points of bludgeon damage as Reginald's fist just, like, rockets. You manage to kind of, like, bring your shield up in time, but even as you do, as the shield connects, you feel the sharp pain as energy just kind of flows through your arm and kind of jostles it for a second. Reginald hits like a fucking truck, and the wave, you see a group of people point over to you, Pax, and they say, get him! And they're gonna all run over and see if they can hit you. They only get 1 attack, but they do get it with advantage because they're technically a group. First one's a nat 1. Second one is that's gonna be a 6 total, so that's definitely not gonna hit. As you see them all kind of like rush up to you, you like get into position, you like duck low, pull the chair, and you're just kind of using it to block your way and kind of get a little bit of distance. But that is going to be for Reginald in the first wave. Zara, it is your turn. You see all of this kind of going on. This chaos is now broken. You've clicked your watch, and your music is now playing on your headphones that you've put in to help focus. What would you like to do?
I'm going
to
hold an action if somebody does come up behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Do I tell you what I wanted to use it for, or do I just say I can hold mm-hmm. it? Okay, so basically, if somebody comes up behind me, I'm going to use my movement to slightly elevate myself up, but I'm going to basically kick the chair towards them, so that way it will trip them up. And then this way I can...
Okay, so you want to basically be, if someone gets close to you, you want to use your action to trip.
Yeah, pretty much action to trip and just kick the chair out behind me. And then the stone that's on the table, I'm actually just going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to actually use it to push the button. Well, this is later, so that way I can throw out the lights.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you can... I'll say in that action, because you're holding your action, you can very quickly, because it's right there, you can very quickly, like, pocket the stone in your hand just for, you know, further further stuff. So that's what you can do.
Yep, and then for my bonus action, I am actually going to concentrate... Because I don't have to cast this on somebody, right? I can concentrate on the hex.
But you have to... Casting a hex is an action.
That says bonus action.
It's a bonus action to keep it up.
Oh, it's a bonus action to keep it up. Yep, yeah. I did write that down. I see it now.
It's okay. It's a concentration
spell. That's the reason why.
Yeah, but you're going to be holding your turn for you to, like, be ready to trip.
Pretty much. You just see him shifting right now through the songs.
Okay, yeah. You're cycling, trying to find a good song to kick ass to. All right. I'm here for it. That's me, Zara. Cooper, it's going to be your turn.
I'm just imagining Cooper's hearing from Zara's watch, I'm a Barbie girl.
Nope.
In a Barbie world. Which is a song to kick ass to.
If he wants to know, I'll tell him what he can listen to if he's hearing it.
Cooper got bopped in the nose.
Oh, that's right.
Maybe a bit later, because Cooper's currently busy at the moment. You just got rocked in the face by... Yeah, you got popped in the nose by the dude who recommended... who you recommended the wings to. He is definitely killing this vibe right now.
Oh, Reggie, why?
You were good, bro, but I gotta do this. It's my job.
And then Cooper takes out his shield and kind of just, like, shield punches him.
You're just gonna fucking shield bash him back?
Yes.
Alright, go ahead. I'll say this is gonna be an athletics check because you're not proficient with, like, shield bashing yet. So go ahead and make me an athletics check. See if you can just kind of keep him back.
I have my athletics written down somewhere else. Give me a second here.
You're doing great.
Thank you, Dad. That'll be 21.
21, okay. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, as you do that, as Reggie is trying to, like, get back up into you, you basically, like, check him, and you're essentially holding him at bay with your shield. You didn't do damage, but you're essentially kind of keeping him there. And he's still trying to, like, wrestle the shield away from you. Would you like to do anything for your bonus action?
I was trying to punch him with the shield.
Okay, I'd say because you're not proficient with making shield attacks, it's just going to be... I'd say you could use your claws if you want to. Like, you can use your you can bash with your shield and then use your claw.
I'll do that then.
Okay, then go ahead and make me an attack roll real quick. I'll say with advantage because you're keeping him at bay.
Yay!
Coolio. Ladies and gentlemen, I rolled our first nat 1, but I also rolled our first nat 20.
Ooh, nice. So, this is great, because how natural 20s work in this system is I basically did more of an improved crit. I got this from the Dungeon Dudes. Shout out to the Dungeon Dudes. So, anytime anybody does a critical hit with a weapon, it essentially, you do the maximum amount of that die plus whatever you roll. So, Cooper, because you're using your claws, that's going to be a d4 plus your strength modifier. So, go ahead and roll that first.
I did. That's a 3, and my strength modifier is also 3. So, plus 4.
So, that means that's
10.
Yep. So, that's 10. Yeah. As you're just, like, you're ruining the vibe, and you just fucking vibe check him back in the chin. As Reginald kind of, like... gets a little bit back, you manage to kind of use that momentum to push him back even further with your shield. And that's what you do. Anything you would like to do as a bonus action or movement? Again, there is still the book that you all noticed on the bar.
I wanna believe my the healing hands thing is a bonus action, and I'm just gonna give myself 2 points because I need those.
Okay, so that's fine. So that's what you do. It is the second wave's turn. They are going to look at you, Roy, and be like, hey, that guy's wearing boots! Fuck him up! And they're gonna run over and they're gonna fuck you up.
I like my boot.
He's not where we're from.
Typical urban elites.
Cooper's like, Roy, I like your boots.
Urban elites that fucking hit. That's gonna be a 20 to hit. They rolled a 2 and an 18, so plus 2, that's a 20.
Alright. Oh, a side thing. So, any... attackers have advantage against me on their first attack roll against me.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's perfect. That still hits. Okay, you actually only take 2 points as you're just kind of like, what? Oh, shit. And you kind of like get a pipe cracked over your face, but because you were already kind of pretty loose, you like fall back a little bit and the other people are trying to hit you, but they can't.
Thank you.
So that's wave two. Wave three is gonna go get up close and personal with Cooper. So they're gonna go over there and they're gonna see if they can get you good.
I have my shield out now, though. It's because I said I like Roy's boots, isn't it?
And they cannot, as you essentially, with that new momentum, you are able to just kind of keep everybody back as they're essentially kind of like trying to swarm you, almost. So that's going to be them. It's going to be Reginald's turn, and you know what? He's going to see if he can deck you again. Okay.
Does Reggie get two turns?
Okay. Yep. Reggie is a paragon creature. Reggie only hits on the first attack, so you only take one attack. And this time you only take... This time you only take 6 points of damage. As Reggie's fist kind of gets up into your face, but this time you're ready and you just deflect it again with your shield. But now, Pax, it is your go. What would you like to do?
I'm going to just kind of, as a free action, be like, notebook to everybody. And I'm trying to make my way to the book on the bar. I don't know. I think everyone's in front of me at this point.
Yeah. I will say, though, if you want to make an acrobatics check to kind of, like, move through people's spaces to get to the book, you can definitely do so.
Is the bar not behind me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because everybody's, like, it's an absolute, like, craziness. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why I asked if everyone was still in front of us.
Yes.
I feel like with me having Reggie and one of the swarms on me, it should be much easier to get to the bar than it would normally be.
That is what the acrobatics check is for, to see not necessarily how busy you're keeping, but how nimble Pax is getting through this chaos.
Well, I rolled low, but I'm also pretty good at acrobatics, so I got a 12.
12. That'll actually just be enough, as you just kind of like, huh, huh, you know, it's not like anything fancy. You don't do any hardcore parkour, but you're like, huh, excuse me, as somebody kind of like tries coming through.
It.
You know, it's like, oh, pardon me, somebody tries to like jump at you, you just kind of like back up a little bit.
Pax has been in many a rave. I know how to get to a bar and a party.
Oh, for sure. And as you get to the book, as soon as you touch it, this book kind of like almost weirdly turns into this beautiful magic glob thing, and time almost seems to kind of slow down for a little. It's almost weird because you have like this moat of magical energy that you're kind of unsure of what to do with. And you kind of think about it for a second as this time kind of seems to warp around you, is you seem to have two options. You can either grant you or your allies advantage on their next attack roll, or you can choose a creature, a hostile creature, and you can lower their AC by 3 for only one attack against them.
I'm lowering Reggie's AC, right, guys?
Yeah.
As you do that, you feel that this moat kind of like coalesces within you and you strike it out and you feel insight from this book. That upon reading this knowledge, it has given you more, of an expertise on how to deal with these creatures. And you actually notice from this, as you kind of see this moat kind of go to be, this light illuminates Reggie, and you see the inside of his skeleton isn't actually, like, human at all. You see, like, mechanical whirls and gears and parts and a lot of bits of metal. And it seems to be that, well, Reggie is a very, very well-made construct. As well as... You also hear a voice appear in your back head and read to you this. I am wasted by the foolish, spent by the average, and invested by the wise. But in all things, everyone succumbs to me. Who am I? And you feel as though that is a clue to the next key that you're trying to get.
Is there a cash register somewhere?
You can go ahead and make a perception check if you like.
Yeah.
Good. Go ahead.
15.
You look and you even kind of at the bar, you don't see a register anywhere.
I want to shout.
You can do that on your next turn because all that's going to
happen. Okay. I can't. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
You also are going to see that another wave is going to come through you and be like, hey, he got the book. Like, oh, look, he's a reader. Fuck him up. And they're going to go over and they're going to try and hit you, Pax.
A reader. God forbid I read.
So does a 17 hit your armor class?
Yes.
Okay, cool. You get beaten up for being a nerd on reading, and you take, as you just hear them just pummeling you.
I dare say I'm the least nerdy character in this party, but okay.
Well, I mean, apparently they also think that too, because you only take 2 points of damage.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, Cooper's up there too. That's fair.
And last but not least,
I'm
Roy,
pretty up there.
That is your go. What would you like to do? There are 20 dudes. You just saw people get, like, there's chaos everywhere. You also saw that weird magic shit with the book.
Did everyone else also hear the rhyme or just me? The riddle.
Yeah, everyone else heard the rhyme.
Okay, what was it again?
Yeah, it was, I am wasted by the foolish, spent by the average, and invested by the wise. But in all things, everyone succumbs to me.
You invest time.
Yeah, I was about to say. You know, same.
I think it is a clock. I got thrown off by invested. I was like, money, obviously.
Nope.
Yeah, no, but I think clock is right. Yeah, it's weird, but hey.
Yeah, so is there a clear line to upstairs?
Where you are, I would say yeah. There would be.
Cool. I kind of want to take a peek at what's up there.
Okay.
As well as possibly get some higher ground that might be helpful.
Okay, cool. I'll say you can use your move action as that, and I will give you a choice. You can either make a normal skill check, but that would be your action, or you can make an hurried skill check, and that would only be your bonus action.
Okay.
You gotta do it with disadvantage.
Let's do a hurried skill check.
Okay. Go ahead and make me a perception Why check not? With disadvantage, please.
Cool. Okay, so that's... It's amazing. It's so good. Eight.
Eight, okay. Yeah, as you're kind of going through, you're like, you're able to get up to advantage, but you're not able to, like, see much, and you're just kind of, like, trying to duck all the chaos. But you do have a better vantage, and you do still have your action if you so choose to.
Cool. I would like to aim my crossbow at Reginald and just say, you have a weird way of showing friendship. You don't punch your friends, and I just shoot him.
Alright, go ahead and make your attack roll, please.
Cool.
Put that on the shirt. You don't punch your friends.
So that's... Sorry, I don't have all the bonuses figured out yet. 21.
21. Okay, and oof, that is a massive hit. So essentially this means that anytime you exceed a creature's AC by 10 or more, you get to roll an additional weapon die. So, what are you firing with?
Yeah, hand crossbow. Yeah, it's 2d6.
Okay, perfect. So go ahead and roll it.
Okay. And then I also have the arcane effect.
Yep, the +1 to attack and damage.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that'd be 8 damage.
8 damage, okay. That, you kind of get him in the side, he kind of raises up, and you kind of like stop. You stop Cooper from getting punched in the face again, and Reggie kind of goes, ah! And you can kind of hear...
I can't believe you've done this.
And Cooper, you can actually kind of hear now, like, the gears sort of whirling, and you don't see any blood. You just kind of see, like, sparks shooting out of his side. But, Roy, that's going to be the end of your turn. And hey, it's the top of the round again, so guess whose turn it is?
Where was mine just now?
Did everyone else also get the information about him being a construct?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Reggie.
Okay.
So now it is Reggie's turn, and he's going to, you know what? I think he's going to spread it around. He's going to move over, and he's going to walk up to Zara, because he sees he can't get any footing over with Cooper. So Zara, your action goes off, so go ahead and make me an athletics check to trip Reggie.
Okay. No, so it's a 16.
16, okay. Reggie got a 13, so yeah, you successfully just, like, kick the chair, and he just kind of, like, falls back a little bit.
Yep.
So that is for Reggie's turn. Wave 1 is essentially going to kind of move over to you now, and they're going to kind of start beating you up. Cooper?
He was ready.
That doesn't hit.
Is Reggie prone now?
Yeah, Reggie is prone. I'm actually going to let Cooper, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to have Zara hold this turn.
Cool. With Reggie off of me, I think Cooper, weirdly, in his, like absent mind, is thinking, oh, maybe it's like time and a clock. So he's going to look for like a clock or something, like something to signify time.
Okay, yeah. You can either make a hurried, which would be ability check with disadvantage, or a regular that would just use your act. So which one would you like to
do? I'm going to do hurried, and I'm going to use my bad dice.
Okay.
Just to make it fun. Surprisingly, both my bad dice rolled really well. They both rolled... Well, one rolled a natural 20. Can't use that, obviously. But the other one rolled a 17.
Okay, 17, all not right. bad. Yeah. All you right. do see, and you're kind of looking around like, watch, clock. And you look back, and you see the... You essentially just kind of see that, like, the stairway, like, underneath the stairs seems to be, like, a clock that was kind of hidden underneath it. So you see that that's probably about maybe like 10 to 15 feet away.
I'm going to go after that clock.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to say you can either make me a acrobatics or athletics. And depending on how well you succeed, because you're kind of up in the melee of everything, that'll determine how much damage you take. So
it's another 21 for my athletics check.
21, okay. Really only take then like 2 points of damage. You essentially just kind of muscle your way through. And you make it to the clock. Do you touch the clock?
Yes, I touch the clock.
Okay. You go and you touch the clock, and you feel this mote of energy again as this kind of like whips through. And you feel as though that this clock kind of gives you something. It gives you almost like a for timing and pace, either to speed up and empower, or to slow down and turn sluggish. And you have the ability to either cast haste or slow on one of your targets for one round. And the effect only lasts until the end of that creature's next turn.
Who are we thinking, gang? Do we want to speed up somebody else, or do we want to slow down one of our opponents? Because haste gives you an extra action.
Yep. Haste gives you an extra action, but it only lasts for one round.
Yes.
Keep in mind that depending on which one that you do use, you are the one that takes the negative effect of the haste spell.
Ooh. Oh, so I get slowed if I take it?
Yes. If you cast it for somebody else to haste them, you get slowed. But if you also slow down someone else, it's like you're taking time away from yourself, so to speak.
Okay. But if I slow somebody, do I get haste?
No, you do not.
Okay. I mean, screw it. My turn's almost over. I think Pax is next in the initiative. I'll slow down. Let's go ahead and give Pax that haste.
Okay. So, as you kind of shoot this emote to Pax, until the start of your next turn, your movement speed is double. So, if it was 30, it's now 60. You gain a +2 to your AC. You have advantage on dexterity saving throws. And you get to make an additional action on your turn. Okay.
Do we get another riddle?
Yes, you do. You all hear that essentially kind of rings out. You hear the riddle. I get cut, but I never bleed. I have teeth, but I don't bite. I am on a ring, but I'm not a gem. And I get turned, but I'm not a page. What am I? And Cooper, that'll end your turn. It is wave 2. Roy, they're going to kind of go and fuck you up. I'm assuming a 15 does not hit.
A 15 does hit.
Okay. You only take 3 points of damage. That's for them. Wave 3 is going to come by and start wailing on Zara. That is definitely going to hit with a 19. Zara, you take 5 points of damage as these are starting to kind of club and overwhelm you all. Zara, since you were holding your action, you can go ahead and go now.
Perfect. Then the stone that I have, I actually want to go ahead and press it and throw it up towards the lights. So that way it blinds everybody and possibly like tricks up the circuit breaker.
Okay, cool. You're using your Thunderstones, essentially?
Well, no, your stone, because it also said it explodes.
Yes.
It said it would get destroyed. I was hoping someone else would think of that.
Okay.
I'm too far away.
I'm here for this. All right. So that means...
Finally.
I'm essentially going to treat this as a Thunderstone. That's right. Essentially what it's going to do. So for the Thunderstone...
Oh, I have that. Throw 20 feet... On a successful hit, 15 radius, The target makes a DC of 11 of Constitution saving throw. On a failed save, 1d4 thunder damage. And also, they are blinded and deafened for a Thunderstone. If on a successful save, however, they take half damage and they're not receiving those penalties.
Yes, okay. So, I'm gonna roll for the waves, for the minions. That's gonna be for waves 2, 3, and 4. That's a 2, so they're blinded as fuck.
Blinded by the light.
Go ahead and roll the damage.
Remember, it was to throw out the lights. Is it damaging them as well?
Yeah, like I said, I'm treating this as a Thunderstone.
Okay. All right, everybody, pray for a 4.
Here's to hoping we get a 4. Oh, well, shucks, we got a 2. That's okay.
Okay. And that also means that they are deafened and blinded for 2 rounds. But that essentially means...
They repeat their save rolls on the next turn.
Okay, perfect. So that is what you would do. And then let me also roll for Reggie, because that also will determine for this as well.
Yep.
Reggie rolled a 3, so go ahead and roll another d4 for me.
Okay. Ooh! Reggie's not gonna like it. It's a 4.
You roll 4?
Yeah.
Alright, so Reggie, that is 4 points of thunder damage, and Reggie is blind and deafened for 4 rounds.
Oh, fuck.
So yeah, no, as Reggie's just kind of like on the ground, just kind of like, I don't understand, how does this affect me? I'm a construct. As Reggie's gonna kind of slowly try and get up.
It was the wigs! The wigs!
Cooper, you see Reggie's trying to get up, so if you want to, you can make an attack of opportunity against him.
No.
Okay. So he just gets up, and that's all he can really do. Pax, it is your go. You are hasted.
Okay. Ooh, the key is so small. Can I roll a perception to see if I... Or a perception or investigation to see if I see a key?
Sure.
I assume it's a perception.
Yes, it would be. I'd allow either perception or investigation.
Would you allow religion and God to help me find the key?
They're the same. So, 9.
9. As you're kind of looking, you don't... Everything's kind of moving too fast. You're not used to, like, this, you're not used to moving, like, this quickly. So you do not see a key. But I'll say that was your action, so you have your additional action, so you can also take that if you would like.
That's true. I forget that. Okay. Do I have anything close to me? A wave? I don't think Reggie's close.
You do have wave, I think wave 4 is over there. Actually, no, wave 4 was over there, but because they're in the radius, they got blinded by 0, blinded and deafened. So they're just kind of like discombobulated a little bit.
But they're still there.
Yeah, they're still... Oh, no, they're still there.
Stab one of them.
Yeah, you could.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to stabby stab the wave, which I assume is a person in it, but yeah.
Go ahead and stab the wave.
I also want stabby stab to be a shirt.
That's going to be a 22.
22. That is going to exceed their AC by 10. Go ahead and roll an additional weapon die.
Ooh.
So cool. I get 2d8?
Yep, because you're using your rapier.
Okay. Oh, it's 2 7, so that's 14. Is anyone near me so that I can get my sneak attack?
No, there isn't anybody close. But you do see, as you do, and don't forget to add your dexterity modifier to it as well.
Oh, yeah. So that's actually 16.
16. Okay, so wait, plus 3, so that's 20 total. That's what I thought. Okay, perfect. So, as you...
You said I was near Reggie, so that way I could attack, and I chose not to. So that would be sneak. So I am near.
No, you're not near Pax. Pax is still over by the bar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to the bar.
So as you actually kind of go through, you realize, it's actually really easy to cleave through these. As you cleave through essentially 4 out of the 5 dudes, and you now realize that these creatures are considered minions. So essentially, the cleave rules apply for them.
Okay, cool.
So you take out that wave.
And then I think I still have a move action?
Yes, you do.
Moved. So I'm going to... Was it Roy who was on the stairs?
Yes, Roy is on the stairs.
I think I'm going to try to move to the stairs.
Okay, cool. You use your movement kind of like, especially with this new path that you made, everybody's more focused up on the front. I'll say that you can kind of get within range. That way you can kind of give Roy flanking because he's getting hammered by this mob that's trying to get up the stairs to get him.
Yeah, I got his back. I'll get behind him.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Roy, it is now your turn. What would you like to do?
All right. So there's one group in front of me. Are they blinded?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Can I just like kick the front one and have them all like fall down?
You know what? Sure. Go ahead and make me a athletics check with advantage because they are blind and deaf.
Okay. So that is 16.
16. Yeah, as one kind of like tries to come up the stairs, comically swinging like a machete, you just kind of like drop low on the steps and just donkey kick them right square in the chest. As you can kind of hear the gears kind of like break, they just boom, 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 fall back on all the rest of their buddies, and they're all considered prone.
Nice.
So that is your action. You also still do have a bonus action and your move.
So they're prone.
Mm-hmm.
Means shooting them would have disadvantage.
Yes.
But they're blinded, so...
Yes.
Okay. And then, yeah, I'll shoot them with my bonus action.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I have the fancy thing. Why did I roll two dice? It's just one. Okay, so that is 21 to hit.
21, that'll hit. So that means that you do your proficiency bonus plus your dexterity modifier plus one.
Okay, so that would be six.
Six, okay. You essentially cleave through one guy and kind of like slightly hurt the other.
That's what you get for not liking boots.
They don't like reading either, to be fair.
They don't like boots and books. Boots
so they don't
and
like
books.
Country or city. Boots and books.
Top of the round, it is Reggie's turn. Reggie is going to stand up from prone. Well, actually, no, he already stood up. He's still blinded and deafened, so he's going to roll a constitution saving throw and see if he can shake it. He does not, so he's still going to be blind and deafened. Wave one is going to roll. They do not. Back to you, Zara. It seems to be that this has been a really good crowd control trick. You see that all of your opponents are still kind of like in discombobulation, but you know that they only have one round left. What would you like to do?
Well, since I have dark vision, I can kind of see just everybody, right?
Yeah.
Sweet.
This is actually going to be interesting to describe.
Okay, so what are you going
to
do?
It is the weirdest thing to hear your voice switch back and forth between those two.
Casting based on my modifier. Who was around me, like, technically wise?
Yeah, so it would be wave one and two and Reginald. If you kind of, like, moved a little bit closer, you could get Reginald in your bubble.
Okay. By any chance... When people are making certain attacks, could they, like, spin and just, like, twirl the attack around?
Are you, like, I mean, you can flavor it? Is that, what type of attack are you doing?
Eldritch Blast.
Oh my god.
Okay, are you Eldritch Blasting the wave, or are you Eldritch Blasting Reginald?
Oh yeah, because I'm surrounded by a wave too, right?
Yeah.
Reginald.
Eldritch Blast.
Yeah.
You sure are a warlock.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, we'll just go with Reginald, whoever he is.
Okay. Yeah, there. As you kind of like focus, what does it look like when you cast your Eldritch Blast?
So whenever I cast Eldritch Blast...
Good God.
No, keep going. This is the bet I have to make. This is my bet and I have to lay in it, so keep going.
This is your fault.
I know, don't remind me, just keep going.
Why? Why did you let this happen?
I don't know. We've all done stupider things. Go ahead, keep going.
It's all.
So I breathe in, bring my palms up and take a deep breath down, and then channeling a bunch of energy through my hands, the room lights up in almost like an Aquarius blue, almost like flames, and then I shoot it straight from my hands, and then I aim straight for his face, with a smile on mine.
Go ahead and make me an attack roll, please. As you all see, like, he calms and settles himself.
He's not what smiling anymore.
What did you roll? No.
Nat 20.
So that's going to be 10 plus 1d10 plus your intelligence modifier.
How much do we love Reggie?
Oh, shit. You scored a critical hit, so that also means that your Eldritch Inferno kicks off, too. So that basically means that you reduce his speed to zero and you knock him prone.
Basically, think of it like this. I shoot it at him,
and he looks to it, and basically, just like an oncoming truck, like knocks somebody like straight down, is pretty much what that does, right? To him.
We're bullying this man. That's what we're doing. We're bullying him.
We started it.
I roll 1d10, right?
Yeah, it's 1d10.
Okay, so that was a 6, and it's going to be, because base force, I'm going to use it as necrotic damage.
Okay, so that's 16 points of necrotic. Ooh, Reggie is looking rough.
Zara just waves, sorry! You didn't sign a waiver!
I'm not alive, but this somehow still hurts! So that's going to be that. Cooper, it is your turn.
That's a very grim thing to say. I'm not alive, but this still hurts.
It's like, I'm not alive in the physical sense where I have flesh and blood, but it still hurts.
If I were to breathe something, could I possibly hit Reggie and a wave or just one or the other?
Yeah, no, I allow you to hit Reggie and the wave.
Cool, I'm going to do my dragon's breath.
Okay, cool.
They're a great cover band, Reggie and the Wave.
Great cover band. So, as you do that and you inhale, what does your dragon's breath look like?
As I inhale, we're flavoring this. It's fire, but instead of it appearing as fire, Cooper takes a deep breath and out comes this, like, steam, just this steam breath. Like, it's so hot. Like, it's like scalding temperatures of steam.
Okay.
What's that smell?
They have to make a dexterity saving throw, right?
It's probably pizza.
Did somebody burp?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead and roll your die. They all fucking fail.
Jesus. Okay, that's, I believe, let me see, 2d8.
Yep, 2d8.
6. 12.
All right, 12. You just kind of like exhume this pressurized steam as you see the clothes and the synthetic skin kind of melt away. And you see now that wave is just gone. A Reggie you see is just kind of like almost like this weird like half Terminator sort of thing. He's like, what is hitting me? Why does it smell like pizza? He's looking pretty rough.
Okay, that's pretty much my turn because I'm slow, so I have an action and that's about it.
3. Let's see if they make it. Nope, but this is going to be the last round. Reggie is looking rough. You got him out of his, so he does not take his extra action. Pax, it is your turn. Remember, you have haste until the end of this turn.
Ooh, okay. Is there still a wave between me and Roy?
Yes. Well, actually, they're there, but they're prone. So if you want to make an attack roll against them, you'd have advantage.
Okay, cool. That's what I was going to do anyway, so.
All right, cool.
That's a 16 and a 13, so it's not bad. Okay, so that's going to be a dirty 20.
That'll definitely hit, and you also get to add a d6 because of your sneak attack, yep.
Because Roy's right there. Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, that's an 8 altogether. Well, wait, 10 altogether.
Okay, that's perfect. That wave is done. That's wave number 3. It is done. So now there is wave number 1 and Reginald. And you can also, you also still have your extra action if you would like to use that to go looking for the key.
Oh, yeah, I have double speed and another action.
Yep.
Okay.
Check the front door, maybe? The one that they just recently locked?
I was wondering if there was, like, an office? Yeah, is there a key in the front door?
Sure, go ahead and make me a perception check.
17.
17, you do see, and you're like, huh, son of a bitch, there is a key in the door.
That's true, I totally forgot they locked it, good job. And then I have double speed, so can I get there?
Yes, you can.
Awesome.
All right. You grab the key, and as you touch it, nothing happens. But you do get a final piece. And you all hear ringing out, I live in the mind, and I am shown upon the heart by hand. I am brought to war, but I do not kill. I am treated respectfully by all and inspired by the young. Many swords have been wielded under my name, for I am the greatness that runs deep into the bone. What is my name?
Is it whiskey?
And that will end your turn. Roy, that's going to be your go. Pax just got these goons off of you, so it is your turn. What would you like to do?
That is a fantastic question. I'm not entirely sure what this riddle means, but what I do know is that Reginald is still up.
Yep.
So I'm a shoot.
As he's just getting like hot piece of breath. So what would you like to do? Reginald is still up.
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot him.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead and shoot him.
He is prone though, correct?
Yes, but he's also blind and deafened.
Got it. 14.
14, okay. That'll hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Nice. 5.
5, okay. You see he kind of like you shoot him right in his left leg, and you see blind and deaf, he just goes, ah, and starts screaming. You still have your bonus action and your movement.
I'm sorry. And I just shoot him again.
Okay.
Shoot him with the other leg.
Go ahead and shoot him.
Cool.
He's A.
That would be, this was to be the bonus action, so that's, I still had the normal bonuses, correct?
Yeah.
To hit?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be, I really need to write this down.
You probably should.
So that would be a 21.
Ooh, that'll hit. Go ahead and do your damage. I'll say go ahead and add an extra D4 because that exceeds the AC.
Okay, okay.
Just imagine you shoot him in both legs and he's Ace Ventura, you know, over there.
So this is the one that has flat damage, so you still want to roll the D4?
Yep.
Alrighty. That would be 7.
Yep, no, you shoot him in his other leg. He's just now screaming because he has 2 bolts out of either leg. Reginald is slowly regretting his life decisions.
That's construct decisions.
Find another line of work.
I can't. This is literally my job.
As Zero's smiling.
Wave 1 is going to attack Zera because they saw what they did to Reginald, and that is not fun.
Still dark. Still dark.
That's a 2, but that's a natural 20. But they are blind and deafened, so that's not going to hit. Actually, no, they're not blind and deafened.
That's still dark.
It is still dark. That does not hit. But Zera, it is your turn.
I imagine as they try to swing, Zera just weaves out of the way because he can see
it. You're just like effortlessly moving out of the way.
All right, well, it's getting kind of cramped in here, so I think I'm going to make some space. I'll do Eldritch Breath one more time.
Okay. Are you going to do that on the wave attacking you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You back up a little bit. You just throw it at him. I'm
going to hop on the table this time.
Okay.
Just like mini parkour.
Okay, cool.
Mini parkour on one knee.
All right, go ahead and make your attack roll then.
Upsy daisy.
Athletics or acrobatics, see how well he gets on the table.
Spins on one knee.
If you want to.
All right, that would be a 14.
14, that'll hit. Go ahead and do your damage. It's just me a d10.
8.
8, yeah. Whew. You basically just like push these back and these constructs just kind of flop to the ground.
Be advised, we're not responsible for property damage, so if you do break it in any way, you know, just send the bill to us in the office.
Cooper, that is your turn.
I'm not effing around anymore. Cooper's now getting into battle mode.
Yeah.
Hey, Cooper. Cooper's pulling out his battle axe.
All right, cool.
And I believe Reggie's the only one left, right?
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah, just gonna go to town on that. Just as he's swinging, just like, why, Reggie, why?
All right, go ahead and make your attack with advantage.
Oh, sweet. I forgot he was pro. That is a 22, actually.
That'll definitely hit. You get to roll an extra die.
Lovely, lovely, lovely stuff, Lana. I did not roll well on my damage. That's 6?
6, okay. Yeah, as you kind of go in, why, Reggie, why? You see he just kind of, like, is blocking. Even though he can seem to, like, almost feel you, even though he can't see you, and, like, blocks his arm to absorb most of the damage.
Okay, am I still slowed, or is that over now?
That's over now.
Oh, would taking a potion be a full action or a bonus action for me?
If you're using it on yourself, it's a bonus action.
Yeah, I'm going to do that after that, yeah.
Okay, cool. You go ahead and heal up 10 HP. Cool. Going back after all the other waves. Pax, it is your go.
Oh my god, the rounds go so fast now.
Yep.
Who's left?
Reggie. And the last clue.
I don't have an answer to the clue, so I'll go for Reggie, I guess.
I don't have an answer either. Okay. I don't have an answer for the clue either.
Yeah, I figured we get rid of Reggie.
Get rid of Reggie and debate as a team.
Yeah.
For what the clue is.
Yes.
Ooh, that's not gonna hit.
What'd you get?
I got a 3.
Nope, that's not.
No.
That's not.
I mean, that's
gonna
before I add stuff, but. Well, yeah, I know. I said that.
I feel like it'll hit. No, I feel like the 3 will hit.
Nah.
I feel like it'll hit.
No. Nah, fam.
Well, there'd be more to it, but not much more. It would be a.
Somehow,
7.
In extreme pain, Reggie is just, like, incredibly agile and just ducking and diving out of the way.
it's weird that they didn't give him, like, meat or bones, but they gave him nerves. It just seems mean.
I feel pain, but not pleasure.
Oh, no! Ow!
It's like the joke. It's like a joke I made, a robot that screams.
So, Roy, that is your turn.
If possible, can I stroll up to Reggie and just right above his head and be like, so, do you know the answer to this riddle? Can you tell us?
Just ask him.
Make me a persuasion check.
Cool. I'm great at those. Oh, so good. Well, that would be an 8.
He's just kind of like, oh, I can't tell you, dude.
Well, all right. And then I just, like, heel kick him in the face. But trying to knock him out.
Okay. Go ahead and make an unarmed attack, I guess, because you're heel kicking.
Cool.
I think that's just a little bit passive aggressive of you.
Just not.
What do I add to that? Is that just a...
It's just going to be a 1 plus your strength modifier.
Oh, no, no. What's the hit?
Oh, it's just going to be a d20 plus your strength modifier. Yeah, because you're not proficient with unarmed strikes, right?
Yeah, not proficient with boot, which is weird. So 15.
15 will still hit. So you deal 1 plus your strength modifier.
Nice. So 2.
You just ting, and you just kind of like grab your toe tip. It's like, ow. Reggie's made of solid stuff.
How much psychic damage does Reggie take from being kicked by a boot, which we know they hate?
I'm not going to tell you. Roy, that is going to be your end of your turn. On initiative 1, you all see the mobs that you guys put down. You see them almost kind of like time gets rewound, and they collectively put themselves back together.
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
We have to solve all 5 clues.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But Reggie's still on the run. Top of the round, so Reggie's going to be like, all right, that's it. And you see he's essentially kind of like shakes the blindness, and you see he kind of does that kung fu thing where he just like slams both sides of the ground and just pops back up to attention. And he's going to take his fist and he's going to rocket it at you, Cooper. He's going to make 1 attack against you, Cooper, 1 attack against you, Pax. That attack against you, Cooper, is going to be a 21 to hit.
I feel like that'll hit, yeah. Okay. That'll do it.
You take...
Yeah, only level 1.
10 points of damage.
As ooh, he just that got rid of that health potion.
As he just rips you right in the chest. And against you, Pax, that's going to be an 18 to hit. And you take... Yeah. You take 9 points of damage as you just kind of like, with this sudden burst of momentum, just boom, boom, with this precision and efficiency. Wave 1 revives, so that's, they don't go yet. They're just kind of like booting back up. Zara, it is your turn. You know that the situation is starting to get dire, and it seems to be that even if you complete this fight, it seems to be that they're going to keep getting back up. And the only way to stop this encounter is for you to find out what the last riddle is. What would you like to do?
Go barricade ourselves in the kitchen.
You can do that.
I never did get my pizza, so...
I'll just say it. Okay, that's it. Everybody in the kitchen.
Okay, are you just moving towards the kitchen?
Yeah, everybody, let's just move to the kitchen.
Okay.
I'll move to the kitchen. As I do that, though...
Well, as you go and move to the kitchen, try and go through the kitchen doors, you see it just kind of, boom, blocked. And you kind of hit it a couple times, and you see that it is blocked by a magical bit.
Huh. Well, of course he would do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Okay. Fun montage of us shouting at each other while we fight, I guess.
Oh, well. I got a better idea.
So that's your movement, so you still have your action and your bonus.
Yep. I'm gonna use my stun baton.
Okay. Do I use your stun baton or figure out the end to the riddle?
Oh, yeah, that's true. We could just figure out the end to the riddle. So wait, is this like one of those Wheel of Fortune things where we just guess and if we get it wrong, something bad happens?
I mean, what do you
think?
No, you'll
have to find it and touch it.
Yeah, I was like, what do you think the answer to the riddle is?
I don't know. I think honor's the answer, so like, I don't know, maybe
honor,
for
courage,
a medal of honor.
Bravery.
Liquid courage.
Yeah, what's throwing me off is the line, I am treated by all?
That's what's been throwing me.
Mm-hmm.
I am treated respectfully by all and inspired by the
wait, what?
I am treated respectfully by all.
Oh, is...
That's when many swords have been wielded in my name.
I really
what's
think
the name of, what's the name of this bar?
It's the Brass Dragon Tavern and Inn.
Is there a guy with a scar on his face hunting the Avatar in the bar?
You don't see anything like that. Also, it's Zara's turn, not yours. So Zara, what do you think the answer to this riddle is?
Oh, this is... I hate riddles so much. In real life, I hate riddles.
I love riddles.
Just say the answer.
You can always choose to hold your action until someone finds a better solution.
You all probably have a better chance at this. I'm going to hold because they're trying to come at us, I'm going to just keep shooting Eldritch Blast to keep them back.
Okay. Go ahead and make an attack roll and roll your damage.
It's like, realistically, I can't come up with an answer at this point. All right, 15. Jesus.
Okay.
Christ.
Go ahead and roll a d10.
God, please be higher than a... God damn, it's a 5.
Fuck.
Okay, so that is the end of your turn. Cooper, it is your turn.
So Cooper out loud first is just going to see if this works and just says honor.
You just say it out loud?
Yeah.
You see them kind of pause for a second and keep going. It's almost like it's close, but not not exactly it. I'll give you one more try before you have to pass up your job.
Anybody got any other words they want to try that's like similar
courage.
To that?
Courage.
Courage. Okay. If we're in a bar, liquid courage, so courage.
Go ahead and make me a perception check.
I am not intelligent, so this is going to be fun. Oh, that's not bad. 16?
16. You kind of like think about it for a second, and you kind of go like, wait, courage, liquid courage. And you kind of look up, and you see, like in the, what you didn't notice strangely enough before, you see almost kind of like one of those like security convex mirrors on the side of the bar. And you see underneath the bar, there appears to be a golden bottle of some kind. And it just seems to be sitting solitarily on a shelf.
I haven't moved. Can I go to it?
Sure. I allow you to do
so. Yeah, I'm just going to go to that. I'm going to go to that bottle.
Okay. You go to it and do you touch it?
Yes.
Okay. You touch it and you see everything just stops. Reggie kind of gets up and goes, huh, all right then. I guess that's it then. And you see that he just casually pulls the arrows out of his legs. And you see he just kind of like stretches.
I go up to him. I go up to him and smack him. Hey, that was too close for comfort.
I mean, like I said, we got to do our jobs, right? You know, we always have to keep up the appearance for the theater troupe. I mean, I'm sorry if it made you uncomfortable, but, like, you guys didn't actually, like, hurt any of us. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of fucked up for us to be alive, but also for us to, like, actually have a nervous system?
I'm telling you, it's like that joke.
He knows this reason. That's why I hit. Why? That's why the first time I hit him, it was with necrotic damage.
So, yeah, but, don't. So, yeah, you guys. I mean, I guess I can give you all a passing grade. It wasn't bad. You guys worked pretty well together. It was good. He just kind of like looks at his legs a little bit and kind of like lifts them up a little bit. He's like, I mean, I guess I'm gonna be walking a little slow because I gotta figure out what to do with these punctures. But you know, it is what it is.
I already have three left on my healing hands, and I go to him and just heal it for 3 points.
He goes, oh, all right, thanks, bud. Well, I guess that's it then. I guess now it's all left is for us to kind of go ahead and clean up our bar. And you see he kind of goes back to the, and you see he kind of like looks up almost like he's looking into something. He's like, hey, Fluffy, you can come out now. They're kind of done with everything. I'm going to start cleaning up. And he goes, you see he kind of snaps. He goes, all right, boys, time to get to work. And you see that they all just kind of like get up. It seems to be that their wounds just like aren't bothering them, and you just see them just casually just start cleaning up the bar. And you see him, you see Reggie just go, you guys go ahead and just have a seat. Just take it easy. I'm pretty sure you guys have been through a lot already. Good job, though. And you see he just kind of like picks up a broom and just starts sweeping.
Liquid courage was such a good call, because I was like, I'm sure it's courage, but I don't know how we would touch it. But liquid courage was a good call.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, liquid courage was actually a pretty good one. That's, funnily enough, though, that is kind of the one that tricks everybody out. And Pax, you see stepping out of the foyer from the kitchen door, holding a tray with almost kind of like 4 dishes with the, you see a large, lanky-armed creature. Bipedal in nature, you see that they have very long arms that almost kind of like that reach a little bit past their knees, and you see that they are covered in this very beautiful, thick, and well manicured fur. You see that he has his vest, his pants, and kind of like his sandals that he's wearing as casual, and you see that he has his famous bucket hat, and you know, it's your Uncle Clark, and he goes, hey, Paxi! Look at you! Look at doing all of this!
Uncle Clark!
Hey, well, it's like, Zara, it's nice to see you again. How are we feeling today?
Much better, actually. I show him my watch.
Ah, that's good! You're learning how to control it, that's nice. And you see he kind of turns to the rest of you all, turns to you, Roy, and Cooper, and he kind of extends his hand down and goes, hi, nice to meet you. I go by Clark, but most people just call me Fluffy.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
So,
nice-wise. You're alum, right? Roy alum?
Mm-hmm. Roy alum.
Yeah, that's nice. Nice to meet you. I think I met you a little bit in passing for the orientation.
That's very likely. I'm pretty sure I recognized you.
Yeah. And, I remember you. You're Stoner Turtle Dude. What's going on, man?
Uncle Leonard told me about you, bro. I said you're a really good, you were agents or lifeguards? Lifeguards.
We do what we do. I mean, because technically speaking, we do guard lives, so you're not really wrong. And you see, he just kind of like slaps you on the back.
Where's the pool?
Oh, don't worry. We'll get into that into the next trial. Anyway, you guys look like you're pretty hungry and look pretty beat up. You guys want some food? It seems to be that the server just kind of left it back there. And you see Hana just kind of walks back and just kind of like stands there and just kind of goes, sup? And you see, as he kind of puts the trays on the table, you see that it is your food. It is freshly prepared and it looks like it's just come hot out of the oven.
Please explain the pizza monstrosity. How did they do it?
Whoa. It's not a monstrosity. It's art.
It's a work.
Half thin crust, half deep dish? That's a monstrosity.
That is a monstrosity.
It's exactly how it sounds like. It's half deep dish, half thin crust.
It's just all like sloping off the
side. All sloped. It's all sloped.
Yeah, I feel like it's Cooper's like it was cooked on like a slanted thing.
Yes.
And Cooper couldn't be happier. He's late. He's rolled up to a cazo, basically.
I like how he ordered one of each, and she goes, cool, half and half. What? Yeah.
Truly.
I mean, close enough.
Truly.
Close enough.
So as you guys sit down and are having this conversation, you all kind of eat this food, and you feel like, oh, man, this is not only, like, really good, but this seems to be, like, really nutritious, and you actually do heal some of your hit die back. You go ahead and roll a hit die, but you don't expend it.
Oh, cool.
And just add your constitution modifier. And as you see, Fluffy kind of like sits down, you see he kind of like does the thing where he turns the chair, kind of leans the chair over on the table, and he goes, so, what do we think? Had the first trial go? I know this is usually kind of the one that keeps most people on guard, but like, hey, that's supposed to be kind of the thing where it's going to be like, surprise, you know? So what did you all think? How'd you all feel? I was kind of looking through the camera, and you see kind of like points up and goes, you all did pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, well, thank you.
Uncle Fluffy, you know I love a riddle.
Yeah, most agents do. Then again, like, for the most part, some of them just get the shit kicked out of the heart. It's like, ain't that right, Reggie? He's like, yeah, that's right, Fluffy. He's just kind of like cleaning up.
All Cooper could think is like, man, this pizza is really good, and they really hate boots and books.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure you all know that this is obviously not the final trial. Quite honestly, you guys probably have a little bit more of a ways to go, but at the very least, this is going to be kind of where we're going to be taking the break for it. You all kind of look pretty much beat to shit. Fortunately, because the key that you all found, that leads up to the room upstairs, you guys go ahead and take your rooms, spend the night, and we'll go for the new second trial in the morning. I guess anybody have any questions before I head out and meet you all in the morning?
Oh yeah, Fluffy.
I have a question.
Everybody's going at once. Favorite nephew, go.
Shots?
Hey, I'm down for that.
Hey!
All right, second favorite nephew, go.
did they give you the note?
Oh, yeah, no, I got it. That was kind of the whole, well, Zara, I'm not sure if you were aware, but that was the whole thing that kind of started this, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I kind of put that together, but I actually wrote something on it.
Oh, well, I mean, let me see.
It just says dork.
What'd you write on it?
It's actually a grocery list for the things that he'll need for medicine.
He goes, okay, yeah, I think we can pick these up. I know we have to go run some supplies for the bureau anyway.
And
I didn't have a pen to write it down, so I was memorizing it when we were on our way in.
That, you know what? Knowing you, Zara, that makes a lot of sense.
Cooper stands back up as like, I think my break's over, dude.
No, buddy. You're on break. You're still on break.
He fully goes back to work.
You're still okay.
And starts helping cleaning up.
He's like, oh, okay. I mean, I guess it's kind of funny. It's like, you all were chosen because your psychological profiles, but you know that I think it'll be fine. Anyway, so go ahead and rest up. We'll make sure that we do a couple of fucking shots, but remember, you all gotta wake up. You got another important day tomorrow. Okay?
Don't stop me before.
Got it.
And it definitely won't stop you now. Let's go get some fucking shots.
Yeah.
Walks up to Fluffy. Will you be dining in or take out?
You know what? I think I'll be dining in. Thanks, Cooper.
Oh, what did I end up getting? What was the surprise?
Oh yeah.
Not dying.
The surprise is the attack. Got your ass served to you.
I mean, you didn't die.
I mean, yeah.
What else do you want?
Technically, yes.
Hey, you know, it's even though boots. It's technically yes, it's still a yes. Am I right?
That's for sure.
All right, let's go get some fucking shots. And as you all basically proceed to get shots for the evening, resting up for the dangers that alert you ahead for part two of your trials.
Hey, I'm on an 8-hour shift.
And as you do that, as you go on your shift, that, ladies and gentlemen, is where we're going to leave off for our first episode of Tales of Adventure, Agents of Boo.
Boo.
Yeah!
That was a lot of fun. I was like, guys, just solve the fucking riddle.
Well, to be fair, DM, I actually couldn't solve the riddle.
Why is that? Why wasn't it?
I couldn't hear it, remember?
I also typed it in there.
Yeah, it is. No, it is in the chat.
No, remember? It's because he has his headphones in.
Oh. Boo.
I assumed it was a mental projection.
No, he said it out loud. That's why I was like, haha, I couldn't hear it. That's why I've never solved those riddles.
Nope. That is technically true. But if you enjoy listening to all this and hearing our content, you can always look us up on Podbean at Tales of Adventure Agents of Boo. You can always follow us on our Instagram and on our Twitter of Agents of Boo with the tweet and the hashtag Boo. And I know you can always follow me, that I always have my Instagram of King Dapper Wombat 2. You can always follow us online for that, staying up to date with everything as we will continuously uploading these pretty much starting, I think, like every 2 weeks. And then we'll kind of see if we can kind of amp up production. But I guess before we go, players, do you have any parting words that you want to say? I'd
like to plug my wrestling federation of PRW. Matt's not here, but I'd be a dead man if I did plug it. You could find us at Project Revolution Wrestling. You can find us on YouTube. Just look up the videos and find John Francis or John Scrutch. You'll find us. And my Instagram is Strange Enigma, and you can find me there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're all plugging in your grams and your social medias.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, so go ahead and plug them in, too.
Well, what about you, David? Don't you have anything you want to plug?
I have so many social medias, it's not even funny. You can follow me at Davis_Solis_24 on Instagram. And then my other Instagram handle is for my business. You can follow me at Aura Light. That is the new brand name, so check it out. The store's not up yet. Like I said, that's coming in a few weeks. But yeah, definitely. That's going to be the hint to my business.
Nice. Natalie, Emmett, anything you guys would like to plug?
You can follow me on Instagram and Urban Nomad. Sounds like three words is all one. All my other social medias, you don't want to see my Tumblr or my Twitter. It's fine.
So. I'm sorry, did you say Tumblr and then switch it to Twitter?
No, both. I have both.
Oh!
I don't want to see. I don't want people seeing my Tumblr, and no one wants to see my Twitter because it's all politics.
Gotcha.
Fair enough.
I gotcha.
We're not political here. Okay, we are political here, but we're not political here.
Right.
I guess last
what's
but
a,
not least,
what's
the
political agenda?
I well, save it for my Twitter.
There we go. Emmett, anything you like to say?
Oh, yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Emmett, E-M-M-E-T-T, 2 E's, 2 M's, 2 T's, .s.art.
Nice.
Sweet.
All right, then I guess without further ado, that's going to wrap it up. Once again, we hope that you enjoyed it, and you can come check us back next time with Tales of Adventure, Agents of...
Ooh, delicious.
Until then, good night, everybody.
Breeze is not here. Good night.
Bye.